why Major League Baseball reminded me of the 2024 presidential election.
It was brilliant analysis for Kenny. Also, Ryan Day, I say he's out if the Buckeyes lose to Tennessee. Ken, not so sure. What percentage does he ballpark it at?
You'll find out during the emerging podcast scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
You sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Tone, talking to the mic.
This is what it's all about, Kenny, being able to do a podcast.
Your mic is not working. Go ahead.
Hello.
Still not working.
Today.
Still not working. Hold on. Go ahead now.
Okay. And
nope, not working.
Thursday podcast.
No, because that's not okay. Now I know what's the problem. Hold on. Stand by. Stand by.
Working out the kinks, so to speak. Well, I tell you, what a big weekend we have coming up.
Okay, let's see it now.
NFL game against Kansas City Chiefs.
Talk.
And I am excited about
now
it.
Now he's on.
Yes.
Okay. I knew why. Okay.
Troubleshooting on the fly.
One. Issue one, Brian Hartline. Brought to you by Extend. Issue one, Brian Hartline. Okay. You had something to get off your chest. Go.
Okay, so I feel like there is a tough catch-22 when you have an up-and-coming, ascendant, talented young coordinator such as Brian Hartline make his way up the ranks. So much so that other teams want to interview him for head coaching jobs. What does that mean for a fan base, especially when he is in charge of the wide receiver recruiting? And who in college football has recruited better at that position than the Ohio State Buckeyes? Anybody? Maybe Alabama over the last 5 years? Maybe that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some would say Ohio State would be number one. So the tough part of this is, as a Buckeye fan, if I could eventually see Brian Hartline being my head coach,
yeah,
don't I have to want him to go somewhere and coach,
yeah,
and learn how to be a head coach?
Yes, I would think so.
But I don't want to lose him because of the recruiting.
I have a counterpoint, though.
So go ahead.
I have a counterpoint. I thought about this. My original thought was you need him to go cut his teeth somewhere, and you need to find out whether or not he's real or not.
Of course.
To you.
Marcus Freeman.
I don't think there's anybody out there that is a coach active right now that would meet the insane standard of the general Ohio State fan. Ryan Day is currently the coach. People can't stand him.
Yeah. Rarely loses.
There is one guy that I think his win percentage is literally 800,
no,
which is video game stuff. Seriously, the guys play NCAA football. They don't win that many games. Think about this. Who's the one guy that people want more than anything with, if it's not Ryan Day?
Vrabel?
Yeah. How many games has he been a head coach in college football?
Zero.
And if you say Marcus Freeman, people go, he lost to Northern Illinois. If you bring up Luke Fickell, please. Wisconsin, that record, not bowling, really. If you bring up Matt Campbell, if you bring up our guy.
Not sexy enough. Where's the recruiting?
Where's the Big 12 championships?
Yeah.
Where's that? Nobody is of the standard of Ohio State who's a current coach.
Nobody is bulletproof right now.
Unless Brian Hartline went somewhere and had an unfathomable amount of success. It's the only way, and I can't see it. Everybody's going to deal with hiccups. Everybody has to get a program off the ground. Luke Fickell was incredible at Cincinnati, went to Wisconsin, took the paycheck, but right now they can't hide behind the Big Ten West. They're still dealing with that out-of-conference schedule. You have, again, Matt Campbell's been there at Iowa State and looks like he's going to be there for a very long time. Congratulations to him. One day we'll let everybody know about the inside machinations of stuff because it's really interesting. Overall, his record is 63-51 at Iowa State, which for Iowa State is incredible. For an Ohio State fan, I mean, Matt Campbell's name was brought up a couple of years ago with like that job, with other jobs. And remember, we had Ohio State fans who are like, Ken, like, I'm like, you guys don't understand how hard of a job Iowa State is. You guys are video game fans. You have no idea how hard it is to win there and how nobody has won there for 100 years until he got there, with the exception of like one season or two seasons. That's it. And the sustained success. But I can sit here and talk about Matt Campbell all day. I know that there's Ohio State fans listening to this right now who groan, but they also know I'm right. There's nobody except for guys who've never coached in the NFL or never coached college football who get there. So the only way that Brian Hartline is acceptable to an Ohio State fan is if he stays an assistant at Ohio State.
Well, think about how easy this was last time around. It was the, I would say, kind of flatlining at a very high level, but flatlining a Jim Tressel's program.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, it just so happens that the guy that was close to, at that time, on top of the college football world, it was really him and Nick Saban, and then, you know, Dabo emerged. But, you know, you couldn't get Nick Saban. It was Urban Meyer, who also happened to grow up in the state of Ohio, rooting for Ohio State, and had all the ties in the world to Ohio State and Earl Bruce. So because of that, it was easy. Nobody was sitting there going, I don't know if Urban's going to make sense. No, it was the easiest transition ever. Can you name me a program where the transition has been that obvious? Was even Nick Saban leaving the NFL after what happened there and going to Alabama? It's probably pretty good. But was it as easy as Urban Meyer? Like, that was the most easily acceptable move that you could ever make for a power program. Now, who are those names? Who are they that would even exist? I think fans would be okay, even if he had no Ohio ties, but he was clearly the best coach in college football. All right, who's closest to that right now? Dan Lanning?
Is that yes, it? I would say so.
You know, well,
there's only two guys who are active coaches who've won national championships, Dabo? And no one wants to touch Dabo Sweeney. Yep. If you're Ohio State, you don't want Dabo Sweeney. He doesn't want to do it with the transfer portal. He would have nothing to do with Ohio State anyway. But
it's Dabo and who?
Why am I drawing a blank?
I'm drawing a blank. Because all of them have left.
Oh, Kirby Smart. Ugh,
oh,
God.
Yeah, obviously.
Kirby Smart.
So, given that, like, and Kirby Smart's not leaving Georgia to come to Ohio State. So, you're right. There will be skepticism surrounding everybody. I do think, man, if Notre Dame gets to the Final Four this year, and right now, let's just call it. Let's just say Tennessee shocks. Would it be a shock? They beat Ohio State. It's a home game.
I think it would be a shock.
I think
you're
so.
A football. Yeah. You're a touchdown favorite.
Yeah,
I almost said a football favorite. You're a touchdown favorite.
Let's say that happens, and Notre Dame gets to the Final Four. And are you looking at Notre Dame's? You know what their potential run is. You can see them in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
You can see them going to the national championship game. If they do that, is it a no-brainer then for Ohio State fans? If Vrabel says, "Hey guys, I just don't want to do the college game," then boom. You throw everything at Marcus Freeman, or is it not going to be unimpeachable because he hasn't won a national championship, hasn't coached that long? You know,
any guy,
no one will care about the Northern Illinois game then if he gets to the Final Four.
If he gets to the Final Four, I don't think they will. But if they were to just lose in the second round or first round or whatever, then yeah, people are going to really care. They're going to be really upset about it. They play Indiana, right? Yeah, if they were to lose to Indiana, I think that people would definitely care and it would hurt them. Even though I think that Notre Dame, as far as winning, isn't anywhere. The prestige of the head coach of Notre Dame is still the prestige of being there. But the winning and the resources, the admissions that you have at Ohio State and other places, Notre Dame doesn't touch those. And so that's why it makes, like, when Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to go to LSU, well, I wasn't a fan of how he did it, and I'm not a fan of how the fit is, and I think it's not a good fit, and I don't think he's going to win there.
God, I thought he would
win it all there. I think that it's opened the eyes for what type of job Notre Dame really is. Notre Dame is becoming a stepping stone job for so many coaches, where it's like, you're going to make a lot of money, but you can make a lot of money if you work somewhere else, because you're not going to win a national championship there. It's a stepping stone position. Unless you get a guy
this year? Does Notre Dame have a shot to
win the national championship? No.
None?
No.
None?
No. No.
Who's so good that they couldn't beat them this year?
I'm telling you right now that they couldn't beat them?
No, I'm saying
Ohio State would wipe the floor with them.
You think they'd wipe the floor with them?
Wow. I think that Indiana will give them a game, but they'll beat Indiana. Who else is in it? SMU would definitely give them a run and probably beat. Yeah, I think SMU could beat them. I think Oregon would roll Notre Dame. record all this. I mean, I'm the closest thing to a Notre Dame fan in this building right now, I'd say. Who else is in this thing here? Georgia would beat them. Georgia would definitely beat them. I mean, I just gave you four teams right off the top of my head who would beat Notre Dame. No, they're not winning the national championship. They might win round one against Indiana. They should win round one against Indiana. But it's not that they're paper tigers. They're good, but their schedule is still their schedule. You know, nobody thought Florida State was going to be a two-win team when they played, when they were going to go play at Notre Dame this year. So the Florida State game, that's not their fault. It's just not the same.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. Notre Dame would not have to see Oregon until the championship game or Ohio State till the championship game. They have Georgia waiting for them if they beat Indiana, but Georgia's on their backup quarterback. That's what I'm saying.
This is
set up big time.
Georgia is a very physical team. And because of their talent, I think Notre Dame is a physical team by watching them. I think that they can out-physical them because of their talent. I think Georgia can get them. Yeah, I don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be. I mean, Carson Beck basically needs Tommy John surgery.
He's done. And the backup, you saw, they didn't have any confidence for him to throw the ball further than 5 yards down the field. And then after that, they've got Rashada, who has not thrown a pass all year.
And if you don't let him pass, he'll sue you.
they've got an offensive lineman who's thrown more passes this year than Rashada. So just given that, I'm just saying, holy cow, this is why it's a high stakes game for Ryan Day.
Yeah, it is.
Because if Ryan Day loses to Tennessee, are we not all in agreement that he's getting fired? Are there people that don't think he's getting fired? I don't care what Ross Bjork said today down in Columbus. Do we really think he saved his job? Holy cow.
I would say it's 50-50 at best. I'd say it might be 65-35 that he would keep his job.
I mean, that's serious. I can't believe it. Because
you look like you're messing with me.
I'm not. That's fool. I never get worked up like this. Four straight losses to Michigan. Not to mention, you want to talk about the hens be a clucking, Kenny.
You gotta watch those hens, man.
What I am hearing from some Buckeye alum, like, they lose that game in prime time, the look on Ryan Day's face, and the culmination of losing the Michigan games the way he has, the way that the program fizzled out after that game last year. I mean, that Missouri bowl game was all-time humiliation for Ohio State. And to have that happen again, and now it's the first ever playoff. Everybody's telling you how wide open it is.
It'd be rough, but I still think it's 65-35.
Oh, my God. So what would be that?
I think he would go into the season on the hot seat because of the buyout, because of the money.
He was on the hot seat this year.
No, he was not on the hot seat. He was not on the real hot seat. He was on the fan hot seat, but not the real hot seat. You had Ross Bjork coming in there.
He's on the 92.3 The Fan hot seat.
Okay, well, there you go. He's on the 92.3 The Fan hot seat. But in the real hot seat, he doesn't go in until he goes into next year. And the reason why is because – you could see it coming a mile away if they start to lose some ball games. He had an 800 win percentage. I've said that already twice on this podcast. Yes, he lost to Michigan again, but you have a $37 million buyout. You have NIL and rev sharing that you have to be accountable for. And remember, there is going to be a house settlement that's coming here federally that's going to cost you probably another $20 million as a program.
You're not moving on from
Ryan Day right
Fork
now
it over.
Because you don't want to set your next coach, maybe Brian Hartline or somebody else, up for a failure to begin the season. It's not going to start out well.
Give your money away before the government takes it from you anyway.
We're moving on to Indiana. Did you see the NIL that Indiana put together?
Okay, I've heard rumors. No, okay,
these are all thrown out numbers that may or may not be real.
I've heard rumors.
But I think it speaks to a bigger thing. So right now, as of this week, the rumors of NIL is upwards of $13 million for the Indiana Hoosiers after what has been a fantastic 11-1 season that's put them in the playoff that nobody thought they were going to be able to do with Kurt Cignetti. It is the same amount of money as Penn State. And that's great. You know me, I'm a football guy. I'm going to say this as a football guy. Man, it just sucks for college basketball.
But Penn State,
it sucks for college basketball.
Your game, Derek Fox, come on.
It is terrible for college basketball that a school like Indiana that has prided themselves on Indiana basketball tradition. This is our thing. This is what we do. This is the tradition of all of it. It's basically that's just become a facade for football, football, football. College football, certainly. Football in general, but college football is an addiction that people cannot get away from, especially wealthy boosters, that they will continue to pour their money and resources into football to chase bowl games, to chase a playoff appearance when you have men's basketball and women's basketball sitting right there for you. And that if some of these schools were to pour their resources into men's and women's college basketball, how much better would they be? How much better off would they be? Now, a team like the like Indiana, this is the rub of it. They can't do it because they're in the Big Ten. And the money that's coming in for television revenue is for football. And I do think there will come a time. You have 18 teams, right? 18 teams in the Big Ten. They're going to want to have the bigger of the big ones in the Big Ten are going to want the bigger piece of the pie. And if you are not investing in football, I thought Purdue might be in a little bit of trouble. Like the old Big Ten,
yeah,
no trouble whatsoever. They like, if this were still, who was the guy who looked like Dr. Robotnik? Jim Delaney. If this was Jim Delaney's Big Ten, no problem at all. You still pack the house for basketball. You still have a great basketball program, all that crap. Now it's different. Now that money is being spent by CBS and Fox on college football. NBC on college football. Damn it, you better have a premium product there.
Yeah, I wonder,
that's why they went out and got Barry Odom.
I wonder.
And they got to put together some NIL for him.
I wonder if these schools, they're thinking, you know, short term right now until this all gets sorted out. Because we all think, most people around college football think, it is going to be professionalized to the point where it's like an NFL situation. It's like a salary cap situation to some extent. And right now, it's still kind of the wild, wild west. I know there's the revenue sharing money that's coming in. There's the added scholarship totals up to 105 now, up from, what, 85?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it is. I think Indiana might be thinking, we've got this weird kind of three-year purgatory, this weird thing where all the administrators are not on the same page. You don't have a central body the way the NCAA was. And so all of a sudden this year, Alabama had no depth.
Mm.
Georgia had no depth.
You think there will
Ohio
be depth
State
again?
Didn't have depth. Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Because I think it's really parodied. The teams, there's no like two teams at the top and everybody else.
Oh, it's
I think
crazy.
I think it's thinned out the herd.
Yeah.
And thinned out the depth.
Which
and
is what
it's
created,
which is what they want. We'll see if they want by ratings
it's
time.
It's not what Ohio State wanted.
No.
It's
no.
not what Alabama and Georgia wanted.
But it makes it more fun for the general fan.
Yes. They wanted to hoard all these players the way they had been dating all the way back to Woody Hayes.
Yes.
Okay, so I am curious about that because if you're an Indiana booster, how many years, let's say your donation is $200K, and that's part of the donations that add all the way up. Who knows? Mark Cuban is one of their richest alumni.
Oh, really?
Has he given $1 million? I haven't seen it. But
I don't know.
They got to get to $13 million somehow. So if that's the case, is Mark Cuban going to want to do that again next year? And when they finish seventh in the Big Ten, is he going to want to do it again the following year? And then what about the year where not Mark Cuban, but a guy that runs a nice business, maybe runs a manufacturing business in
he can give $5,000 a year.
Maybe give 10. And then the player that he endorsed or whatever is part of an NIL situation. But that player was like, hamstring. Ooh, NFL is coming calling. Like, my agent's telling me to sit. Like, is that donor ever going to throw 10 grand in again?
No, probably not.
Ohio State, they will.
Yeah.
Ohio State, they will. Georgia, they will. Alabama,
yes.
They will.
They'll
do it every single year.
And
want to be invited to the Scarlet and Gray golf outing.
That was my bigger point, is I look at these schools, blue blood basketball schools, all the way down to the mid-majors, and I go, what are you getting out of this investment? What are you getting?
And in basketball, go get the basketball.
For what?
You only need two guys to change the entire class.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I look at a place like Akron, I look at Kent State, and I go, what are you doing? What are you throwing money in on this for? Go down and be FCS. Go play Youngstown State and Missouri State and Illinois State and Western Illinois and go be a good basketball conference. What are you doing? Akron has the nicest stadium in the MAC. Nobody's going there. I'm a football guy. I like their football coach. I want them to be successful. But it's a futile thing. I look at their basketball. They have good coaches. They've had good coaches for 20 years. They win 20 games a year. They've been to the NCAA tournament. Still haven't cracked through and won a game like Kent State has. I'll admit that. But they go to the NCAA tournament every couple of years, it seems. Great, solid program. They play in a gym. They play in a gym that they call an arena, but it's a gym. I used to work there. I used to do the facilities there. I know what it is. You know, but I can't give them any sort of a push to go build something better because they don't get much attendance for basketball anyway. Football, they used to get somewhat decent attendance, but still it was kind of paltry. When I first started at Akron, you had some 18,000 people.
I came up from Chesterland to go to games both at Kent and Akron. Back in the heyday,
they were well
back
attended.
In the late 90s, early 2000s, I drove from Chesterland as a high school student to go watch those games. I thought it was so much fun.
And a 30,000, when you have 18,000 people in a 30,000 seat stadium, that's pretty good for a place like Akron. But it's not that way anymore. Akron's on its ass, barely. I mean, they won four games. Kent State is definitely on its ass. They're getting nobody at the game. I told you I had a buddy who said that he was the AD. They just let him onto the field because he was wearing a Kent State hoodie. And I'm going, both of these are great basketball programs.
Yeah.
You play in a gym in Akron, and Kent State, they have a partition at the one end. Because they use that for gymnastics on the other side of the wall. They should be playing in this stuff.
Yeah, that sucks.
Invest in your basketball. Invest in that. Third thing I want to bring up to you. Issue 3. Major League Baseball reminds me of the 2024 presidential election.
Giddy up! Baseball should have gone on Joe Rogan's podcast.
You brought up Colin Cowherd talking to Ryan Russillo.
Yep.
Well done, by the way. What did Colin Cowherd say to Ryan Russillo about baseball?
Baseball is trend. The arrow is pointing up. He thinks there's going to be a huge resurgence following up what happened at the end of last year. We had the Yankees and the Dodgers. And for Colin, he said, I'm kind of a snob about it, but I will watch. I'll watch the Yankees.
Bingo.
I will watch the Dodgers. They have all the good players, and I'll watch them every single game.
So this is not a political statement because there will be people who hear this and they get all there. Please do not get sensitive over it, even though you will.
Our audience is mature enough to handle it.
No, they'll get sensitive over it. There will be people on the far left who are going to be upset, and there will definitely be people on the far right who will be upset. Well, I'm sorry, guys. No, I'm not sorry. Take this for what it is. Take it for political analysis. That level of thinking, right there, Major League Baseball has become the Democratic Party.
Ooh.
It's big in the biggest cities.
Mm-hmm.
And they cannot believe that if you venture outside in New York City, if you venture to Western New York, you will see Trump signs all over the place. You go to downtown Cleveland, Ohio, Harris Waltz.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Medina County and tell me how many Harris Waltz signs you see. Go to Chicago. How many Harris Waltz signs are you going to see? Go to DeKalb. Tell me how many Harris Waltz signs you're going to see. Look at what happened. And that's a state that voted for Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look at what the states in the Midwest have done. That's where your election is won. That is where your election is lost. You have a party, and I've told you this, and it feels good to get this off my chest, that I think has talked down to people. You have a party that has not paid attention to people outside of the big cities. And I think Major League Baseball is doing the same thing. I'm only going by analysis, guys. I'm not telling you who I voted for. Doesn't matter. I think both parties have a big problem on both hands. But when I watch what's happened, did I or did I not tell you well over a year ago that Donald Trump was going to win the election? Just by going on how I feel, just by going on what I see with people and how they are acting, because it's not New York City and Los Angeles and Atlanta, Georgia. It is the areas around them.
Trump gained in all those cities too.
There are people who and you go back to 2020. What was going on then? You have people who do. They change every 4 years, side to side, or they'll stay depending on what they see. They are actually up in the air voters.
About every 2 years.
And those are also your people who are your general sports fans. You're a general sports fan.
I think it's a great analogy. I do have one question about it.
Okay.
Ratings went up big time last year in the World Series.
Yeah.
So how do they square that? You know, you have the loss of the local TV deals, which is going to be even greater gains for the big markets. Because now, it's always been the haves versus the have-nots. Now the have-nots mm-hmm. have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the haves, they get their local TV money. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, Los Angeles, go look at their TV deal. Go look at the Yankees TV deal, the Mets TV deal. So because of that, that distinction is going to continue and grow, and that chasm is going to grow.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
That's bad.
I
agree with you. That's bad for Cleveland.
Yeah.
But if the World Series has the highest ratings they've had in 15 years, how are they ever going to want to go in a different direction?
You will keep the status quo, just like the Democratic Party has. My wife is from Mahoning County. 20 years ago, you'd be hard pressed to find some. There's obviously some Republicans, but it is true blue, straight ticket down the line. Those people feel that they have been, and you play this for any of the people around here. Those people feel that they have been ignored. And baseball fans, quote unquote, baseball fans feel that they've been ignored because they're being told their money isn't good enough. Just like people who are voting are told that their money isn't good enough. And if they remain the status quo, they'll just lose those fans. It doesn't hurt now. It will hurt later. And you saw that at the beginning of this with the Democratic Party 4 years ago. We're big in New York. We're big in LA. We're big in Chicago. We don't have to worry about it. And it cost them by a lot. And Major League Baseball, we're big in New York, we're big in LA, we're big in Chicago, we don't have to worry about it. Okay. All right. Because we can only have this conversation so many times. Because you and I are like, hey man, it's not just the Dolans, it's 26 other teams. Okay, I'm going to go be a football fan. Okay, I'm going to go vote for the other guy.